This meeting will come to order. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Bob. We don't have you. I thought for sure.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll. Mr. Bell.
Here.
Mr. Cartier.
Here.
Ms. Diller.
Here.
Ms. Hartley Nagel.
Here.
Mr. Hollins.
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Here.
Mr. Powers. Mr. Sheldon.
Here.
Mr. Smiley.
Here.
Mr. Street. Mr. Tackett.
Hurry up.
Mr. Weiner.
Here.
Mr. Woods.
Here.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 12 present, 1 absent. Thank you. Is there a motion to correct or amend the minutes of November 28, 2017?
Motion approved is distributed.
Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Are there any announcements from members of council regarding legislation? Mr. Smiley.
Ordinance 17-070 will remain on the table.
Thank you. Introduction of ordinances. All ordinances shall be considered at the next regular council meeting with the exception of those items that Board of Commission recommendations. Madam Clerk, please read in the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 17112, amend the grants budget, appropriate $346,320.68 in actual program income and $373,679.32 in anticipated program income to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3 grant, which is administered by the Newcastle County Department of Community Services. Ordinance 17113. Amend the grants budget, appropriate $600,000 in anticipated program income to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 1 grant, which is administered by the Newcastle County Department of Community Services. Ordinance 17114. Amend the FY 2018 capital budget, appropriate $73,780 from the Recorder of Deeds Technology Fee Account to the Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion 2 Capital Project. Ordinance 17115. Revised zoning map, White Clay Creek 100, south side of Churchman's Road at the terminus of Addison Drive, tax parcel number 09025000008, 09025000009, 09025000010, 09025000011, 100 Addison Drive, rezone 136.56 acres from S Suburban to ST Suburban Transition, rezone 0.13 acres from NC Neighborhood Conservation 6.5 to CR Commercial Regional, rezone 7.45 acres from S Suburban to CR Commercial Regional, rezone 2.12 acres from NC Neighborhood Conservation 6.5 to ST Suburban Transition, and to amend the comprehensive plan consistent therewith.
Mr. Powers has joined us.
Thank
you. Ordinance 17116, revised previously approved preliminary major land development plan with rezoning for Columbia Place at Garden of Eden Road, Brandywine 100, south side of Garden of Eden Road, west of Concord Pike, and east of Taunton Drive, tax parcel number 06051-00014, 100 Garden of Eden Road. Ordinance 17117, revised zoning map, Newcastle 100, 2101 North DuPont Highway, northwest side of North DuPont Highway, north of Central Avenue and south of Lovelace Avenue, tax parcel 10009.40015, 0.23 acres from NC 6.5 Neighborhood Conservation to CR Commercial Regional, and to amend the comprehensive plan consistent therewith. Ordinance 17118. Revised zoning map, Brandywine 100, 1 Prospect Avenue, northeast corner of the intersection of Concord Pike and Prospect Avenue, tax parcel number 06064-00093, rezone 0.071 acres from NC Neighborhood Conservation 6.5 to CN Commercial Neighborhood and amend the comprehensive plan consistent therewith.
Thank you. Reports from select and special committees. May I please have the report from Boards and Commissions Subcommittee, Mr. Weiner.
Thank you, Madam President. The Boards and Commissions meeting took place today, at which time we discussed a resolution, which is on tonight's calendar, supporting state legislation allowing a reconfiguration of the Board of Assessment Review.
Thank you. Finance, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. At today's Finance Committee meeting, after beginning the meeting, we had a resolution on a land donation resolution for Park and Edgemoor Gardens. We went through ordinances that included the annual federal appropriation from Housing and Urban Development for our Section 8 Housing Voucher Choice Program. We went through a ordinance that will clarify issues related to the property tax exemptions for our seniors. We also had a presentation on the State of Delaware Voluntary Disclosure Agreement Program, which will cover a sheet property in the county and meet requirements with state government. We had a presentation on the 2017 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and we had a discussion under Expansion Revenue Roundtable, and we adjourned the meeting.
Thank you. Public Safety, Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam President, the Public Safety Committee met today. We had some discussion about police hiring. We had an update on the police academy. We had a lengthy discussion about the submission and withdrawal of the county application for to the feds for 15 police officers, and we had a lengthy discussion about what some council members and staff people feel are the overzealous nature of the new security system in the city-county building.
Thank you. Land Use Committee, Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Yes, we met on Tuesday, December 5th. There were one resolution, one ordinance before us, Resolution 17233, which is record plan for a storage unit on Old State Road, and Ordinance 17110 that we will also be voting on tonight regarding an annexation.
Thank you. Next, consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by a simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such and available in the back of this room and online. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 17229, reappointing Leon Tucker to the Newcastle County Diversity Commission. Resolution 17230, consenting to the appointment of Janet Dean to the Newcastle County Library Advisory Board, a subcommittee of the Department of Community Services Board. Resolution 17231, reappointing Mark Aller to the Newcastle County Financial Advisory Council. Resolution 17232, reappointing Owen Matthews to the Newcastle County Financial Advisory Council.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Neagle?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
The consent calendar has been passed. Presentations? Does any member of council wish to make a presentation? Seeing none and moving on, consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of any resolution or ordinances, please come forward and line up on the far right side, sign in your name and affiliation. After the particular resolution or ordinance you wish to speak on is introduced and I open the floor to the public, please approach the podium one at a time, State your name for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Remain at the podium after you speak for any possible questions from council. Next, R17233, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, I request that R17-233 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 17233, plan of Old State Road Storage, Newcastle 100, west side of Old State Road, abutting west side of DuPont Parkway, U.S. Route 13, major land development plan that proposes to construct 29,700 square feet of self-storage buildings and a 600 square foot office with associated parking, utilities, and stormwater management facilities on 13.5 acres, CR zoning.
Mr. Smiley?
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R17233.
Mr. Vowell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiac?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
R17233 is passed. Next, R17234, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like Resolution 17-234 read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 17234, authorizing the county executive to execute an agreement regarding the gift of property and other documents necessary to accept a donation of land from Edgemoor Garden Civic Association, Inc. for parkland and recreational purposes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes. First of all, I'd like the clerk to recognize for the record that the council president would like to co-sponsor this with me. I'm just going to read from the synopsis of the resolution. If approved by council, this resolution allows the county executive to sign the above-listed agreement regarding the gift of property and any amendments thereto and any other documents necessary to accept the donation of approximately 1 acre parcel of land from the Edgemoor Garden Civic Association, Incorporated, for parkland and recreational purposes. And this resolution the council is considering, we reviewed extensively in committee. Would any council members like our department to come forward and special services and present this again?
Personally, I don't think so. It's necessary.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
we're tired.
All right. This 1 acre land donation from the Edgemoor Garden Civic Association, should council approve this tonight? It's commonly known as the South Cannon Drive open space. It's a 1 acre parcel. All the open spaces owned by the Civic Association in Edgemoor Gardens are currently maintained by Newcastle County, and it is the intent of the administration with the vote of council tonight to go forward with a park development on this site. I know we had extensive discussions with council up in the committee. I know that there are people from the public here who would like to offer additional testimony. And with that, I'll close my comments unless council members have further questions of me.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, Mr. Powers?
Yes. Thank you. With sitting in my district with all the maintenance corps that pay to maintain all their parks, I just have a hard time voting for this.
Thank you. Are there any other members of council that have a comment? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. And it looks like we have some people down on the side. Okay, please come up and state your name for the record.
My name is Harmony Wise. I am from the Edgemoor Bike Club. And I'm here to speak to you about why I believe we deserve a park in Edgemoor. There are many reasons why I believe our community needs a park. For starters, our community needs a park because we need somewhere where our community can be good instead of with the wrong crowd. Another reason why I believe our community needs a park is this park can be a place where finally there's peace and harmony with no shooting and killing. Also, some reasons why our community needs a park is because Us children need to be somewhere other than a role to play in. They need somewhere they are not interrupted every time they begin to play a game. With your help, we can finally have peace in the neighborhood. So please allow us to have this spark in our neighborhood for our sake. Before I end, I would also like to thank CIT for allowing me to be a member of the Edgemore Bike Club, because without them, I would never have the confidence I have today. Thank you, CIT. You are very important to me.
Thank you very much. That was very well done. Next. And please state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Charlotte Green. I'm a resident of Edgemore Gardens, and I wanted to speak about the importance of a park. I moved in Edgemore Gardens in 2005. My children at the time were ages 2, 5, and 8. So I kept them in the yard to play because around the horseshoe of every cul-de-sac, it's no sidewalk. It's just straight. So the kids had nowhere to play. Eventually, I put up a basketball court in my backyard, and the whole neighborhood would come. It was like the park. All the kids would come, play basketball, hang out. So having this park for these kids would be a really great thing in my eyes and everybody's eyes in Edgemore Gardens, to give the kids something to do besides hanging out in the street and being a nuisance to cars and trying to get by. Oh, thank you for your time and your patience tonight. Good evening.
Thank you very much, madam. Will the next speaker please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, my name is Michelle LaMonica Rouse, and I am the president of the Edgemore Gardens Civic Association. I represent three generations who live in Edgemore Gardens, and 5 years ago, I purposely moved back into the neighborhood to become part of its revitalization efforts. Growing up in Edgemore, my friends and I had three playgrounds and a basketball court within the neighborhood to choose from to exert our playful energy. Unfortunately, as time passed and lack of leadership and support from residents, those parks were not able to be maintained and the equipment was removed for safety purposes. We are a neighborhood of 382 homes with an average of 2 children per household. We are a very densely populated neighborhood, and there is nowhere for our kids to play other than the streets. Obviously, this is not a conducive environment for their safety from the constant flow of traffic throughout the streets. The nearest parks are at least a mile or two within walking distance, which is not always an option for our children. Having a park in the neighborhood would not be a luxury for Edgemore Gardens. It is a necessity. This would be an investment to enhance the quality of life for the residents. It would not only provide a healthy outlet for our children, but for the adults as well to be able to play with their kids and use a walking trail. Lastly, because Edgemore Gardens is a blueprint community, we encourage home ownership. And a park would be an asset to the neighborhood as far as the stabilization program. It would help to bring up the value of the neighborhood and could potentially help attract future families looking to become homeowners. I hope everyone here in support of Edgemore Gardens demonstrates to you the strong partnerships we have developed to strengthen and rebuild our community. The Newcastle County Police, the Neighborhood Intervention Team, the local churches in our area have all partnered with us to help rebuild our neighborhood. And we are moving forward and doing a lot of nice things for the neighborhood and for the kids, and this would just be an asset to the community.
Thank you very much. Thank you, madam. Will the next speaker please come forward and state your name for the record?
I'm Karen Cheeseman. I run the Edgemore Revitalization Cooperative. The only thing I can offer the kids are programs inside the house. I have Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and homework help, but they actually need outside energy to be gone, and they don't get rid of it. So a park, because I grew up in Edgemore, we've always had a park. My kids grew up in Edgemore and didn't have one. And now I have my grandkids there. So it'd be nice that they could go to a park and play and exert all that energy. So in that time's a joy. But the programs I offer are all indoors, other than my bike club that CIT has brought into the neighborhood. So it would be nice for them to play safely and not annoy all the neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you very much, madam. Will the next speaker come forward and state your name for the record?
My name is Pat Todd, and I'm speaking for the resolution for the Park for Edgemoor Gardens. I'm the mission chair and a member of the Presbyterian Church of the Covenant. Our church is located across the street from Mount Pleasant Elementary School. Since 2012, our church has been the meeting place for an after-school program for Edgemoor Garden children from 3:30 to 5 p.m. We started with 7 children, and that number has increased to 37 children, 3 paid teachers, 3 aides, volunteers, and an administrator, meeting 4 afternoons a week. The teachers and aides walk the children across the street, and the program pays for a bus to take them home. The EDGE Ministry program is funded through outside grants and funds from the church and was started by one of our pastors. Covenant Church also has members on the board of the Edgemoor Revitalization Center, and I attend monthly meetings of the Cluster Churches, Edgemoor Civic Association, and others. We have a deep concern for the families that live in Edgemoor Gardens. There's a real need for a park in the development. The closest area for play for youth and children is the elementary school, which is 8 to 10 blocks away. Right now, they play in the streets. A county park would be a great investment in the area. Some of the rental properties are being fixed up. The area is slowly being revitalized. There's a lot of vitality by the residents, the neighbors, and the churches to make the area a better place to live. Our church urges you to fund a new county park there. Thank you.
Thank you, madam. Will the next speaker come up and state your name for the record?
Yes, good evening, everyone. My name is Rashid Mustafa. I'm the field supervisor for the community intervention team. And it's been said that a house is not a home, and therefore we would say a community without a park is not a home. We've been actively involved in the Edgemoor community for the last 6 to 9 months, working with the young people, working with the ORC, working with the Civic Association, working with the Bellevue Community Center, working directly with young people in the intervention and prevention aspect. Over the past summer, we did flag football up in the area, we did community cleanups, we did Halloween events. We try to engage ourselves as much as we can with the young people in terms of outreach. And with all the energies from all the partners, we've been very successful. But it is absolutely necessary that we establish a park in our community to help to save the lives of the young people. And the young people have sat down with the leadership in helping to design the park. So this is a great opportunity for all the stakeholders involved. I know all of us will be very proud once this project is completed. And may God continue to bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker come up and please state your name for the record?
Good evening. Master Corporal Tracy Duffy, and I represent Newcastle County Police this evening, and I represent the community of Edgemoor Gardens. I did not grow up in Edgemoor, but I have adopted each and every single one of those families as my own, and I mean that sincerely. My partner and I, Officer Hamilton, we are the community engagement specialist for that area, and we are foot patrol. We are there our 11 and a quarter hour days. So from the time that the kids get on the bus, depending upon when we start our shift, or when they get off the bus, we are there. And we are in charge of keeping not only those kids safe, but also their families and the people that travel through that community. But one of the things that we did notice when we first started our foot patrol assignment was that there was no park. There's not a place for those kids to play. And so I know that every human being has things that they need to make them safe and to keep them healthy, and that's food or water and home, a safe place to live, clothing on their back for when it's cold or when it's hot outside. But these kids also need a park. So these kids need a park to help keep them safe and to make them healthy. So we know that, you know, former First Lady Michelle Obama talked about obesity, and she talked about keeping kids healthy. And this is another way to help us keep the kids healthy, keep them safe, and make them healthy, or help them to be healthy. Everyone has talked about the kids riding their bicycles or playing in the street, and that is true. We see it. And we are grateful that the folks who may not be from the community actually slow down because they see our cars parked there. And that we have not, and I knock on wood, that we have not had any accidents that involved any of our juveniles in that community. But it's at times I say it's not a matter of when, it's not a matter of if, it's when. And I'm concerned, because I'm a mom too. And I already said that I have adopted each and every single one of those kids as my own, and I mean that. And so this park, hopefully with your vote, will be built and created and developed, and for kids like Harmony and the bike club and her sister and the other kids that are part of the bike club. And yes, I know each and every single one of their names and the other kids that are in the community. But again, I thank you, Madam President, for the time. I thank you, council members. And thank you to the community of Edgemoor Gardens for believing in myself and my partner to speak on behalf of Newcastle County Police. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for serving. And next, and sir, please come up and state your name for the record.
My name is retired Colonel Dominic D'Onofrio, and I live in Edgewood Hills, which is adjacent to Edgewood Gardens. And I've lived there since 1977. And I've seen that area not go anywhere. And I did not know there was even a park there. If there is a park there, it should be developed. I grew up playing in a playground all my life. I came to Delaware. I was in the Wilmington Ski Club with Bob Reiner. It's a good thing to build character or raise property values. So I say, if there is a park there, use it, develop it, and get some good effects out of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other comments from the public? If not, say it one more. Please come up, sir, and state your name for the record.
Master Corporal of the Newcastle County Police. First, I would like to thank Councilman Cartier, because I believe if it was not for him, we would not be standing here today trying to get this park. I worked for patrol in Edgemoor from 2007 to 2009, and I've been a county police officer 16 years, and my career is defined by Edgemoor Gardens. That's how I'm known, is Edgemoor Gardens. I see people from the community that I still have relationships with today. My career has taken me on other paths, but I will always be defined for Edgemoor Gardens. Not only does this community need this park, these kids deserve this park. Rising Drive is not a park. It's a road. And I'm going to piggyback off my fellow officer, Duffy. It's not when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Somebody's going to be driving, and one of those kids, unfortunately, is going to have an accident. I'm surprised it has not happened yet. Where this park is being built, every other Saturday when me and my partner were on evening shift, we would have a football game. Those kids knew, 5 o'clock on Saturday. Me and Roberto Herrera we would be there with a football, 20 to 25 kids, every other Saturday. But again, if it wasn't for Councilman Cartier, I truly believe we would not be standing here today. 3 years ago, I met him right outside, and he walked outside these chambers. I was on day shift. I came up to him, and I talked to him about this. So I'm asking each one of you to please vote for this county park. Not only does the community need it, but those kids deserve it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and thank you for your 16 years of service. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R1.
Madam President?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to make comments. Thank you. Now that I've heard the public, it has inspired me to make a few comments, particularly the officers that are there. I mentioned upstairs that I had a Jack and Josh truck, and the first stop on my route was Edgemoor Gardens 7 days a week for 5 summers from when I was 19 to 23. It was my favorite spot because I felt sort of like everyone's friend. It was a very tight community, but the kids were playing on a highway, Rising Sun, and the other streets were very tight with the cars coming parked on both sides. There was a Newcastle County Code, this community was built. I don't know, even in Wilmington, any community that's denser has more houses per square acre. And to have 300 plus houses with kids that are good kids and they need a place to play, I'm proud to vote in support. And from a financial point of view, we're already mowing it. It costs us $11,000 a year. The $100,000 cost came from the state. We already have the $100,000 budgeted from the county's point of view, and it'll send a message that we care about this economically challenged area, not just other kinds of neighborhoods that we're investing as a county in this community. So, thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Powers?
Yes, after hearing the constituents, and, you know, I really don't know the area. I pretty much, anything south of Wilmington, I probably know everything all the way to Salisbury. But I will vote for it. It's needed in the area. No sidewalks. We have some of those subdivisions in my district. It's pretty unsafe.
Thank you. And I will also ask my constituents, my fellow council members to vote for it. I lived for 5 years on Lighthouse Way, which is only a few blocks away, and then has since moved next to St. Helena's, which constituents will know where that is. It's just a couple more blocks. And so I hear the gunfire. I hear the police helicopters over my house, you know, and I see the kids, and they need a park, you know. And so I just thank everybody for coming here, for your comments, because it makes a difference. Thank you. Next, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R17234. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes. R17234 is passed. Next, R17227.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to lift R17-227 from the table.
Second.
And I ask it.
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Then to have it read by title.
And ask to have it read by title.
Resolution 17227. Newcastle County Council respectfully requests that the Delaware General Assembly amend Title 9, Chapter 13 of the Delaware Code relating to the Board of Assessment Review. Ms. Diller?
Yes.
This is a piece of legislation that has been worked on by Councilman Weiner for some years. We had the discussion at 4 o'clock, no, actually 5 o'clock, in the Boards and Commissions Subcommittee meeting. What we're voting on tonight is to send the proposed legislation to the General Assembly. They will take action. If the legislation in one form or another passes, then we will come back and do an ordinance.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R17227. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes. Thank you. R17227 is passed. Moving on to ordinances. R17109. Mr. Hollins and Ms. Diller.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that ordinance number 17109 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 17109, amend the grants budget, appropriate anticipated federal funds of $17,061,160 from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development to the Section 8 Housing Choice Vouchers 2018 grant, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Mr. Hollins?
Per title, Madam President, we did discuss this briefly upstairs this afternoon in the Finance Committee meeting.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 017-109. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent. 017-109 is passed. Next, 017-110. Mr. Woods?
Yeah, Madam President, I request that 17-110 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 17110, approving the annexation into the City of Wilmington, Delaware, of that certain real property owned by Cathedral Cemeteries, Inc., located at 2400 Lancaster Avenue, tax parcel number 07036-30060. Mr. Woods?
Per title. We discussed this in...
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 017-110. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes. 017-110 is passed. Next, 017-111. Mr. Hollins?
Mr. Smiley?
Mr. Smiley.
That 17-111 be read by title only and placed before council.
Second.
Second. Ordinance 17111, to revise Newcastle County Code Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation, Article 6, Exemption from Real Property Taxation, Division 14.06.300, Property of the Elderly and Disabled, regarding application and requirements for certain exemptions from real property taxation. Mr. Smiley?
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 017-111. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes. 017-111 is passed.
Next, 017070, Mr. Smiley.
Remains tabled.
Next, R17235, Mr. Cartier and Ms. Stiller.
Yes, I ask that Resolution 17-235 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 17235, honoring the life of Max Sybil Bell, Jr.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes, I don't know if Councilman Cartier has any comments, but Mr. Bell was a well-known attorney and as well as very active in the community. We knew through him through his work with the Episcopal Church and wanted to honor him and the life and the service he gave to our county.
Thank you.
I'd like to make comments.
Mr. Cartier?
Thank you. Max Bell is one of our great legal lights, member of the bar in Delaware. He was always full of sage advice, and he had the right values. And I can tell you in my experience dealing with him and working with him when I was in university, I always looked up to him. And we're sorely missing a great person who's passed away.
Thank you. Are there anyone else from council with questions or comments? I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R17235.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
R17235 is passed. Does anyone from the public wish to address council? Seeing none, and moving on, is there a motion to adjourn?
Madam President.
Oh, sorry, sir. Please come around. Sign in.
Kind of hard to see, so short.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is Muhammad Salam. Good evening, Madam President, Council members, and Councilwomen. I'm the team leader or director of NIT, Neighborhood Intervention Team for Newcastle County, or before that, Community Intervention Team for Newcastle County. I was informed at the end of this month that our program would be terminated or dismissed. Considering, and I want to give you a history of CIT and what we were involved in our community from Claymont all the way up to Will Fox with 896. We had at 1.9 members, we're down to 4. We've done a yeoman job in the community. You heard some of the Edgemoor Association speak of us with the instruments of NIT, Neighborhood Intervention, or CIT, Community Intervention Team. And I was told it was because of oversight, and in the middle of a fiscal year in the 12th hour, being involved with the community throughout the Newcastle County, I thought it would not be really a good idea to end the program, particularly when we're really vested in the community. We have done assessments all over Newcastle County, empowered the community, as you heard, with Edgemoor Community Center. We established chess clubs throughout, bike clubs throughout Newcastle County. Councilman Shelton has helped us a lot of some of the co-drives. We have a partnership with different council members in different programs and emergency situations. Councilman Smiley, J Street, matter of fact, dealing with Madam President. With 4 members with a salary of less than $45,000 with no budgets, meaning no benefits as far as medical. I didn't think that would be a good idea to really end the program that once was established to really begin to establish a better relationship and bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community, and that's what we have done. When the crisis, when we know the lack of trust is in our community, is a reality, it's not going to change unless we change it. And so I'm appealing to the council. I understand there was in the finance committee some concern was mentioned about our program, but I don't think it's really a good idea at this point. If we can finish our program out, it would be great. I'm quite sure people in the community will come and will speak on our behalf, but I'm quite sure that the people and the council people here who know what we're about will also be supportive of that. So thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Last question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Street.
What is it you would like the council to do?
I would like the council to be supportive of extending this program to the fiscal year. We were giving funds to July of 2018. And as I said, in the 12th hour, in the middle of success in our program, with four people, we have effectively Claymont to 896. We have clubs everywhere. We have the support of the community. And we have established relationships with our youth in the community. And I think this is what law enforcement wanted. I think this is what the society is needed necessarily for us to have the respect for law enforcement and vice versa. We have empowered the community with knowledge and information dealing with law enforcement. So I would like to get the support of the county members to continue this program until an assessment comes whether this program should be moved to other area, community service, or revamp it in a sense that would help the community as well as law enforcement. I don't think any program, the way our program exists, should never be eliminated when there's supposed to be a commitment of protecting serve the community. So, if that answers your question, Councilman.
Well, can I make some comments?
Mr. Street, yes.
And I talked about this at the last council meeting, and all council members have good memories, but I'm just going to go through it. The genesis of the program was that County Executive Gordon decided, based on some of the things the City Council had done, that he would no longer provide a grant to the Wilmington Fire Department. And I said, that's fine. Consider putting the money in intervention specialists to improve police-community relations. I literally went and got Muhammad and asked him to apply. I literally went and got Rasheed and asked him to apply. And that's based on maybe not Rasheed, but all of us in our own way were trained as street workers by the late William Hicks Anderson. When Hicks died, I was assigned responsibility for taking over community youth workers. Muhammad is one of the few, so I can't run him down the streets like that anymore. But I asked him to consider taking it on and then training some younger people to do just what they started out doing. And, you know, community youth workers, when we had an active Wilmington Police Advisory Council, worked hand-in-hand in partnership with Wilmington Police Department. We crossed lines, we had badges, we got information, we gave information, and it was to the point where if there were altercations, there was somebody held up in the building, they would allow us to go in and try to get the person out before they had to use police force. And I asked Muhammad, because Muhammad's the only person I know, somebody said, he's got a gun, and he walked over in the corner and said, give me the gun. And the boy took the gun and apologized for having it. Rasheed, when the so-called 9th Street Boys at the time were in it with the boys from Brookmont Farms at the time, he went almost single-handedly. Now I understand Muhammad helped him, but he got the 9th Street Boys, got them together, went and talked to the boys in Brookmont Farms, and he shut that down by himself. So I was hoping that they would be allowed to provide some leadership in that entity and at the same time train some younger people to follow in their footsteps. Now, at this point, I have never heard of something being defunded in the middle of a fiscal year when it's already budgeted. And because it's going from 9 to 4, it makes no sense. Second, this is the holiday season. So you're going to give somebody notice a month before New Year's that we're no longer going to fund your program and never say why. And that little girl sets him on your lawn tonight. And I don't know if Muhammad's still riding bicycles or what, but starting the bicycle club, starting the chess club, all these positive things going on, I just don't understand how we justify shutting this down. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I guess there's disappointment and folks are irate because it was hoped that they would be able to gather information and find out who the Rose Hill shooter was and help resolve some of these cold cases. Well, if a whole police department hadn't been able to do it in 2 years, then how 9 reduced to 4 supposed to be Houdini and come up and resolve all these problems? But they're doing a lot to improve police community relationships. When you're working with young people, those younger people, those teenagers become adults, and you build a trust factor, and that's how you improve police community relations. And to me, the street's not talking to the police department. That's why we have all these cold cases. So you got a beginning of something, and you started 6 months, and you put Muhammad and Rashid and a retired police officer and Monk, who used to work with me, and is also a city employee, you're talking about credible people, you put them in the lives of children and then you take them away and you wonder why children act out. You don't put people in children's lives and then it's arbitrarily and capriciously taken away. So I tried to, because the county executive and I are not getting along, we will never get along, and I didn't reveal to him from the beginning that it was my initial thought, because I knew that would be held against you, still may be held against you, but at this point, I revealed the purpose and intention. I think it was working, and I fully support it going forward, and there's no justification. We're not laying off anybody anywhere else, so why are these 4 people being singled out to be laid off? And if the police department don't want them, that's fine. Send them community services. Send them somewhere else if their partnership's not working the way so-called police leadership wants it to work. But to take 4 people who are working hard and just arbitrarily take away their jobs and take them out of the lives of children that they've impacted is fundamentally unfair, wrong, and flat-out rotten.
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. The phrase you use, bridging the gap. And I think the community intervention teams are doing that. I can tell you that I have my community center executive director, Bellevue, in my ear about this issue, that we need to continue this program. I know folks in Edgemoor Gardens appreciate everything that's gone on there. I think it has been a key part of this web of stewardship, mentorship, crossing racial lines, and I got to think we can find somewhere in the budget to support this modest little program, not terminate it. Maybe if we got to move it, that's fine. But I'm committed to helping to continue the program because the people in my district want me to.
Mr. Bell, then Mr. Smiley.
Thank you, Madam President. This program is currently funded in the current year budget. Am I hearing that correctly, that we passed a budget, this council passed a budget that included these services in the budget for the budget year? Is that correct?
Sir, would you like to speak to that?
And so who arbitrarily comes back and eliminate something without bringing it back to this council. Here we go again. No discussion, no input, and we have a program that we've heard is beneficial. If there needs to be improvements, then you get a team together to make those improvements. If anything's to be removed from the budget, it should be removed in the budget process. So I'm a little confused and dismayed at the fact that these type of things are going on without consideration, without anyone bringing it back to council, and without this council having any input into it.
It was put in public safety, I guess under law enforcement, so I imagine the budget that they used, they could decide what they would do with it. If I think that's
okay, and
appropriately said it.
Okay, and Mr. Smiley, you had a comment?
Councilman Bell clarified the point I was looking to.
Thank you. Is there any other council members that would like to comment? Mr. Hollins.
I'm not very pleased with how this is being played out. It seems to be becoming a pattern for a program to be dismissed. There was no discussion whatsoever in a committee meeting of council. All I know about this is a few things I've heard unofficially. This program, from everything that I've heard about it, is an asset to the community, an asset to the police department. It's no secret that there is a disconnect between the police department and the community. There is a serious disconnect between the police department and the black community in particular. So to have folk of this quality of Rashad and Muhammad coming forth to try to bridge that gap with a very minimalist amount of money. We're really not talking about real dollars here. And to say that this is going to be eliminated without any assessment, without explaining to council why this is going on, without even having any discussion whatsoever, is just not the way that this government should be operating. I think that this is our last meeting tonight before the holidays. We have very little time here, but I would encourage every council member here to get on board and do everything that we can to make certain that this program is not eliminated in this fashion, and this administration owe it to us to come forward with some answers as to why, and to also come forth with some assessment of what this program has done or has not done. This is just not the way we do business.
Thank you. Is there any other council members that would like to make a comment? Yes.
Two things. I do work with Mr. Muhammad, and how we even met was somebody just said, we had extra suits and clothing and so forth from the Powell Center, and he just said he ran a good program. I really didn't look into it. I took this particular person's recommendation, and it was a lot of clothing, you know, and it was handed out legitimately. It was done gracefully. He told me about the chess program and how people are getting on board. I guess my question is the council, can we just extend it until we have a next meeting next month? If there's money, I don't know when the money's going to be cut, but can we make a motion on the floor here to extend the money until we can have
Mr. Smiley next?
If I can. Our problem is we're not sure, and according to Muhammad, it's in the public safety budget, so we don't know how it was allocated out of there. I do, and if I can have the floor for a few moments, it's okay with council. And law can tell me, or council to council, if I'm incorrect in this. I would request that members of the administration that are in here this evening get with the county executive, whoever you have to get with, and with council's blessing, I would ask that you get back to me and let me know, is the problem funding?
Yeah.
Is the problem funding? That's the question I want answered. I want to follow that with two members of council. Since we will not be meeting again until January, I would make a motion that council give me a
give the finance co-chair's approval that if the issue is the funding, that we be authorized to find the gap funding in council's budget to transfer to the administration to maintain this program until at least the end of January when we can meet again to discuss it. So I so make that motion and ask for a
second.
Third. Fourth.
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion is passed.
Thank you. And can I have a show of hands from the administration if he's going to carry that ball for us? Okay. I'll send him an email from my office tonight when I get up there. And again, this is the response. You know, we put a thing on the finance agenda asking to have somebody from the administration just step up, hear what we're saying. And again, you know, this is very unfortunate. It's a response I did not expect. But I will send an email and ask, and really that's all we can do. I need the information. Council has spoken. If I can get the information, if the issue is the funding, we'll work towards that. If not, then I'll get with Councilman Street and pass on what information I do get. Right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Looks like we have one more speaker. Please come up and state your name for the record.
We have two more.
Two more? Where's the other two? Okay, there we go. And your name, sir?
My name is James Parker. I'm actually a Civic Association president for Oakmont. I already said what y'all was going to do with it. I was just going to give more detail of what the CIT team meant to our community. When they first started, we was doing a walk in our community, and they came out, and it was nine of them, which was actually more than the community members that showed up. But with their bright yellow jackets, as we walked around the community, we started having people inquire about who they were. Then we had a tennis grand opening in our park. They showed up for that. Then we actually did a community cleanup throughout all three parks, Dunleaf, Rose Hill, and Oakmont, and their team was out there again. For our big community unity day, for all 22 surrounding communities, they were out there again. So they are very well received in the community, and this was before the police started doing the walking thing. So with them being out there, it was a smooth transition between us receiving the police as they started coming out in the community because of the CIT team was there first. So I just wanted to tell you how important they were to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker please come up and state your name?
Hello, Michelle and Monica Ross again from Edge McGuire and Civic Association. I just have to reemphasize the importance of the Neighborhood Intervention Team to our neighborhood. About 3 years ago, I had met with the Newcastle County Police, Corporal Hester, down at headquarters and discussed some of the concerns that we were having. And this was before we actually had Corporal Duffy and Officer Hamilton in the neighborhood on foot patrol. And you know, at the time, we've had a lot going on, and it wasn't always so good. And Corporal Hester and Sergeant Reynolds had given me the information to meet with the Neighborhood Intervention Team. The next day, I heard from Rashid. And from that point on, 3 years later, we've been working together with CIT, again, building, you know, programs for the kids, the bike club, the chess club. But as Rashid said before, they've been to all of our events. They're family to us. Just like Duffy said, it's a family. They're a fixture in our neighborhood. And it would be detrimental to our kids who have developed these relationships with them, you know, to not see them there for these programs. You know, and just as Councilman Street said, you know, you can't bring something into these kids' lives. And, you know, they're finding these figures, these adults who that they can respect and they can learn from and take them away. So it wouldn't serve our community very well if they were removed and funding wasn't provided. I think it should be a lifelong funding process to keep them in the neighborhood. I would miss them. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, madam. Will the next speaker please come up and state your name for the record?
Good evening, Madam President and fellow council members. I'm Scott Spencer with the Coalition to Keep Bus Service on Rodney Square. And I want to thank Councilman Carter for inviting me to speak here before council this evening about a situation that will put a number of your constituents in a very difficult situation during this holiday season, and that starts plans to remove over 14 bus routes from Rodney Square. And this is a hub that has been a central part of the economic fabric of Wilmington and New Castle County for workers, business, and shoppers for over 25 years. And their proposal, DART's proposal and plans right now for this Sunday, December 17th, is to eliminate most of the bus service from Rodney Square. And it's really a shameful sham because it does nothing to improve transit service and convenience and will only hurt its most vulnerable passengers, senior citizens, children, the poor, and disabled citizens. I'm very proud to say that the NAACP, AFL-CIO, and many other groups have joined the coalition, along with, as I am here today, speaking on behalf of over 1,300 citizens that have signed petitions opposing DART's plans to implement this very disruptive change. We've requested and been granted a meeting with Governor John Carney this Friday on behalf of the petitioners to urge him to reverse DART's decision. Really ask for a Christmas miracle. Now, some, and DART would probably say, well, the changes are already in place. The union runs have been bid out and picked. Nothing we can do at this point. That's not true. As a transit consultant, a manager formerly at SEPTA, I know that if the governor is gracious enough to reverse this illegal, discriminatory and disruptive decision, all DART needs to do is issue an order to all bus drivers to continue their current union pick assignments until further notice. So our provisions, the union has told me there's provisions in their contract. So we could get a last minute reprieve. But we're opposing this change because it would adversely affect so many people and create a confusing complex and disruptive problem for passengers who were required to transverse several city blocks, some from here on French Street, up hills over to Shipley and Orange, just to change buses. And right in the middle of the holiday season, you know, you have a number of constituents that are depending on buses, not only for shopping, but for those vital holiday jobs that are central to the extra income they need this time of year. And I can tell you, having been involved in the fight to get Sunday bus service now almost 10 years ago, thankfully it's been running very successfully, the compromise there was only have enough funding for the buses to run once an hour. And it worked so well because of the hub operation like an airline at Rodney Square. We also want to point out this is a sham. And we said so to DART because, again, as a consultant in the transit industry, there isn't a transit system in the country that has taken a transit hub and then broken it up and dispersed the stops all over town and said that that's improvement of service. It's not true. There are many iconic public spaces that have major transit components, such as Boston Gardens, the Commons in Boston, Trafalgar Square in London, Bryant Park in New York. They all coexist. There's some adverse forces that are trying to push these passengers off this square. And we have said to DART that many of these bus passengers find Rodney Square to be convenient and comfortable. And Rodney Square is a taxpayer-funded asset that should have fair and equitable access to all citizens, regardless of their status and need. And we said very clearly, we found out that DART's attempt here to restrict passenger access to Rodney Square is a violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64. Just today on WDEL, they tried to cover this. They said, oh, well, wait, no, we still have some buses stopping at Rodney Square. But when you look at the pattern of the buses that are left, it's very offensive. Because these are buses that are destined to suburban locations, such as Pike Creek, Hokesson, Arden, Falk Road. Hey, they need service too. But those who are most in need of changing buses, and particularly disabled, like the weather event we had on Saturday, at least they know Rodney Square is shoveled and salted. The paths amongst the city blocks that they'll have to negotiate is not always going to be clear during the winter. So I come here appealing to whatever support the council can give us. I know the NAACP has called for a peaceful phone-in protest of calling the governor at 302-577-3210. And that has been helpful because the governor is ready to meet with us this Friday, and we're hopeful for a Christmas miracle from him. I'll be happy to answer any questions that council members may have. Yes?
Yes, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion that we support continuing bus service at Rodney Square.
Second.
Thank you.
And third. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion is passed.
I thank you very much for that support, and I just want to leave you one other comment. To those who are concerned about the conditions at Rodney Square, we can address that very successfully after stopping people's lives by restoring the police presence that was established very effectively in 92 when we added the evening bus service, mm-hmm. restoring the effective cleaning on the square. And I've been before City Council, and we may get support in Wilmington for passing an ordinance which exists in hundreds of cities around the country, including New York's Central Park, and that is to have public playgrounds, parks, bus stops as a no-smoking area because it prevents loitering. I'm just saying, hundreds of cities have it, and it could be effective for Rodney Square.
Mr. Street.
Two things. One, for purposes of the meeting on Friday, I think it's important that he have a letter or document that he can take that's indicative of the motion that we just passed, so that he can literally put that in the governor's hand as our support.
I'd be pleased as the
movement. Mr. Weiner.
Yeah, I'd be pleased as the movement to draft a letter and circulate it to the members of council for their comment before transmitting it to Mr. Spencer.
Thank you.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Thank you. We went through this a couple of years ago. What transpired between them changing their mind last time and coming back to this again this time?
Well, that's an excellent question, Councilwoman. That happened in 2012, mm-hmm. and at that time, as required by federal law, DART put in the public notices that these bus routes were going to have their stops discontinued at Rodney Square. The result was we formed a coalition. We got over 1,000 signatures in. We packed the hearings with hundreds of people, and we told them how unfair and disruptive this would be, and they did not go ahead with the changes. This time, and we said this to DART, and we're conveying this to the governor, their changes are illegal because the public notice simply said route changes, did not specifically indicate that. We didn't know until we walked into the hearings that they were moving bus stops there. So at that time, they gave proper notice. By federal law, again, I've done this when I was at SEPTA, if you don't have complete accurate information, you cannot go forward with those changes. In fact, those of your constituents that ride the Route 6 from Wilmington to Newark, it was omitted by accident from the hearing notice. And we said, look, I said to John Sisson, the CEO of DART, this is a mistake, it's illegal, you should discontinue this proposed changes until you get the proposal clear, accurate, and fair. So that's I think they intentionally understated the extent to catch us off guard, and that's what they did. It was very unfair and illegal.
Mr. Street.
Am I or am I not correct that this last move was supported by the city administration and in part supported by the administration at the request of developers?
That's what I've been told a number of times, that there are certain business interests, developers, that have expressed the need to have issues at Rodney Square addressed. And this is where we go to the point about taxpayers. All those passions are taxpayers. And again, as a transit professional, I do share some of their concerns about some of the conditions and the situations that have occurred at the square. But that's a very small percentage of anyone else who's using the square, and there are solutions to that issue in terms of cleanliness. And frankly, to Councilwoman's point of what happened 5 years ago, they were having vandalism, graffiti on these shelters, and other criminal activity there because the police had not been funded. Now, DART says they want to have a transit center. Every transit system in the country has a transit center. They fund police presence, they fund cleaning. So before they build this proposed transit center at Wilmington, at the train station, which still would not be adequate to replace Rodney Square, they should make that financial commitment, which they have. Police officers have come back since July now. They are patrolling the square. Conditions have improved significantly. The cleanliness of the square, that has to be addressed. And the loitering issue. But that's no reason to disrupt the lives of citizens and move them about. But there are other interests at play here, Councilman.
Well,
Mr. Street.
Let me say this to you. I just want to commend you and thank you for staying on the battlefield. You know, you played a major role, the lead role in getting Sunday bus service. And there was no optimism that folks fought you tooth and nail. You won, and now we've got Sunday bus service at a level that nobody even thought about. And you fought this years ago, and I remember then Councilman Mike Brown said that he would lay down in front of the buses before it better happened. I said, well, I ain't joining you with that, because they will run over you. But, and here again you are on the battlefield, you stayed the course, and so I want to commend you and thank you for your leadership in this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman. And I have to say, I'm on behalf of those who have met as we went about getting these petitions signed, and I remember one gentleman in particular with his walker and his two bags of groceries on either side. I'm not going to make it. I mean, these people are living at the margins. They have enough disruption in their lives. And now they're going to face this do or die of catching a bus to keep a job or to stay warm or face waiting another hour to the next bus. This gentleman said, I'll never make it. And he says, what can I do? Well, this is what we're doing for them. And what you and your council members have decided to do tonight is speaking for those who don't know what to say and how to do this. So thank you from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of their hearts to help provide the service they need. Thank you.
Stay on the battlefield, cuz.
Yes, sir. Thank you, cuz.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Are there any other comments from council? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned.